This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Trick Talks. Today I'm going to answer some questions that I've been asked from people on the internet and share a little bit about my experience that way. On Trick Talks, I interview others with trichotillomania or other BFRBs. I also read from my memoir, The Trickster Diaries, and I'm going to throw some fun episodes in here, like me, answering some questions from strangers. And so here we go. What is your favorite management strategy? Whew! Okay, we're starting off really, really strong. My favorite management strategy is physical barriers. I have to say, I love a good physical barrier. I'm also big on stacking my strategies. So some of the physical barriers I use are hats, putting my hair up in a ponytail or different braids. I like scarves, headbands. I like wearing tape on my fingertips. I like wearing band-aids. I like liquid band-aid on my fingertips. I like wearing a beanie if it's cold, but I like to make it hard for me to get to my hair or my eyelashes. I know eyelashes are pretty tough. I've worn the glasses, sunglasses. I put Vaseline on my eyelashes as well. But for my hair in particular, stacking the physical barriers is really great. And so let me just give you a quick example of something that I would do as I'm working at my desk. When I'm working at my desk, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to wear my Keen 2. Shout out Habit Aware. You'll hear the ad soon if you haven't already. Just kidding, just kidding. But no, seriously, I do love my Keen 2. I was a customer before I worked for the company. So I wear my Keen 2. I'm going to put my hair up in a ponytail. I'm going to have a hat on. I'm going to put a little piece of scotch tape on my index finger on both hands. And that's about it. The reason is I need to do so many things before I actually get to my hair. So in order to get to it, I need to take the tape off. Then I need to take the hat off. Then I need to take my hair down off the ponytail. Then I need to ignore the vibrations that are happening on my wrist. There are so many things that I'm going to have to do that every time I take one of those physical barriers off, I'm able to ask myself, okay, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? I give myself that moment of pause and say, is there something I need right now? What do I need right now? What can I be doing instead? And so eventually, by asking myself those questions and by having all those physical barriers in place, my hair stays where it is. And I'm also able to check myself and choose something different. Where do you pull or pick from the most on your body? So right now, I pull the most probably from my eyelashes and my scalp. However, that has changed throughout my life. I used to pull my eyebrows the most. And for some reason, I don't know why, but the feeling of pulling out my eyebrows isn't the same anymore, and I just don't like it. So I don't know why I stopped liking it. Very interesting. I'm wondering when I'm going to stop liking my eyelashes and when I'm going to stop liking the hair on my scalp. But right now, I pull mostly from my eyelashes and my scalp. I pull from behind my left ear. That's where I find I keep going back to. And so every few years, I'll have a little curly Q sticking out of my hair from my regrowth. My regrowth grows in curly. My eyelashes are something that I've pulled on and off for a very long time. I started when I was younger, around the same time as my pulling out my eyebrows. And then I had a 10-year gap from like 18 to 28 where I really wasn't pulling that often. I maybe would tug an eyelash here or there, but to have completely bare eyelids, like that was not happening. And then the pandemic hit, and much like everybody else who has a BFRB, it got much worse during that time. And so that was the first time in 10 years that I had pulled out all of my eyelashes to the point where, I mean, I was completely bald eyelids. And I was a teacher at the time, and I was really nervous to show that to the kids. I wasn't there. I was not anywhere near as open as I was now. I actually wasn't open at all, really. I started to write the Trickster Diaries, but it was kind of like, oh, I'll start writing this book. Like, who knows if it'll ever be seen by anybody else? And so, since that moment, since 2020, I have been with eyelashes, without eyelashes. I don't wear the false eyelashes anymore, but I still pull them pretty consistently. How did you hide your BFRB? So many ways. If you've listened to the episode today, I talk about different ways that I've hidden my BFRB. But if you haven't listened, do it. But also, I'll tell you now, I used to wear fake glasses, thick headbands. I drew on my eyebrows. I got bangs to cover it up. When I was older, I wore makeup and I wore hair extensions. I wore false eyelashes. I wore sunglasses in the pool and in the ocean, which people thought was weird. It was, but those were some of the things that I would do to hide it. I also would, like, on a windy day, I would have my hair in a certain hairstyle. I used to not be able to wear high ponytails. I'd have to only wear ponytails kind of near the nape of my neck because I had missing hair. So I couldn't wear a high ponytail because I was missing so much. But I would try to hide it so often. I was able to do my liquid eyeliner in a moving car. Like, I could like prepare for the bumps in the road. Like, I was so good at it because hiding it was the only option for me in my head. And it was very important to me. So, definitely did everything I could to hide it. What is your least favorite management strategy? Well, great question. I do not like, I actively, strongly dislike pull free challenges. I do not like the idea of being pull free. I've tried many, many times to be pull free. It just doesn't work. And I'm very happy for people who find happiness in that. Like, I'm not saying no one should ever. I don't, you do what you got to do. For me personally, it's not working. For many people I've spoken to, it's not working. What it does is it has you strive for perfectionism. We already know that's not going to work. It's not a good thing to strive for. It also kind of fuels, not kind of, it also fuels this negative cycle, right? One eyelash should not ruin my whole day. But the moment I was tracking and trying to be pull free, it was like one eyelash would make me spiral. And then I'm pulling more and more and more. And I'm like beating myself up. And I can't believe you pulled again. Like, you just had 5 days in a row. No, it's just not for me. And I have a very strong memory of downloading. This was before I started to be open about it. But downloading this app that you could track, it was like a sobriety app, but you could use it for hair pulling as well. And I remember finding that I pulled a hair kind of like subconsciously, like I didn't even realize until after the hair was pulled out. And I was like, oh, that doesn't count. I'm not going to track it in the app. I'm like lying to this app. Like, I'm like, this is why am I lying? Like, it's just not something that helps me. I don't focus on being pull free, I focus on being pull less. And like I said, I don't think one hair should have the ability to ruin an entire day. But when you are trying to be pull free and like cut trichotillomania out like cold turkey, I think that you find that it's actually more harmful than it is helpful. If you had to describe your BFRB in one word, this is a good one. I would say needy. And the reason I would say needy is because it does show me what I need. So if I am engaging in my BFRB, it's because I need something. I need to self-soothe from something. And so it's kind of showing me by pulling out my hair that I need to change what's happening. And so I'm able to ask myself, what do you need? What do you need? Like, okay, what do you need? What do you need, girl? Okay, what do you need? What can I change here? And I think that it also reminds me, because it's so needy, it reminds me to check in constantly. On what I'm feeling, what I'm doing, my mental state. I kind of feel lucky that I'm constantly checking in. I feel like I'm really good at it. And maybe people who don't have trichotillomania don't do these things, don't have to constantly check in with themselves. But for me, it's something that I do. And yeah, I would definitely say needy. What has your BFRB taught you? I think it's taught me so much now that I have been open to having a relationship with it. When I was younger, up until adulthood, my late 20s, it was something that I chose to ignore, and I thought if I ignore it, it'll go away. And that's not the case, but that is how I treated it, and so I didn't learn anything from it. I just thought it was this annoying, horrible, dirty little secret that I had that I wanted to hopefully ignore until it disappeared, and it never did. Once I started to become more open with the disorder and learn about my relationship with it, started to like actually get to know it, was how I was able to understand that like this isn't something that makes me a bad person. It's not something that says I'm lacking in self-control. It's, this is a chronic disorder that we're self-soothing from something. And I can now ask myself these questions of what do I need right now? What am I doing right now? How am I feeling? Am I hungry, tired, thirsty, frustrated? Do I need to take a break? Do I need to take a walk? Do I need to pet my dog? Do I need to take a nice long shower? Like, what are some things that I need? And it's taught me to really check in with myself. It's also taught me that what I feel is beautiful is just myself. Like, I don't need to have a full set of eyelashes to feel beautiful and feminine and like a woman. I can look at myself in the mirror every day, no matter the state of my eyelashes or my hair, and feel like I'm 100% myself. Whereas before, I only felt beautiful and like myself if I had everything intact. And guess what? I didn't have anything intact. And so I never felt beautiful and I never felt like myself. I felt like I was this ugly, dirty monster. And I never was. And so it's taught me to not only check in with myself, it's taught me to feel beautiful in my own skin. And it taught me that, like, I am never going to be the type of person to see someone who looks different or is experiencing life in a different way and say, like, what's that? Why is that? Because my whole life I spent dodging the question, where are your eyebrows? Why are you missing your eyelashes? Like, where's your hair? Why is your hair like? And I just will never be that kid. I do have so much empathy for others, and I will never try to embarrass somebody or make them feel less than because of the way that they're experiencing life at that moment. And I think it's made me really funny. I'll be honest. I think my sense of humor is pretty good because I've had to deflect a lot. If people are laughing with you, maybe it's keeping them from laughing at you. And so I think there are so many things now that I can look and say, wow, my BFRB taught me all these things. And it's only because I was able to try to build a relationship with it. I feel like I have a good relationship now where I'm able to acknowledge these things and think like, okay, my BFRB isn't 100% negative. Yes, it sucked for so long. Like most of my life, it really sucked and I had a horrible time. But I can acknowledge that. And I can also acknowledge that it's brought me this amazing community. It's brought me my whole life at this point. I mean, my job is all about BFRBs and trichotillomania. My passion is there. My love is there. My heart is there. It has brought me so many friends and this ability to express myself and learn to really love who I am as a person, BFRB included. And without my BFRB, I don't know what I'd be doing, but like my whole life now is this path, and I am incredibly grateful.
Did you know HabitAware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
Have you ever went without pulling or picking for a period of time? Yes, I have. So there are many times where my trichotillomania has gone to the back where I'm pulling still. I would never necessarily say I've been 100% pull-free during moments, maybe a few days or hours or whatever, but I feel like just naturally I'm kind of tugging throughout the day here and there. But there have been times where everything was intact. I wasn't missing entire eyelids worth of eyelashes. I didn't have bald spots. And that was between grades like 7 to 11. And then I had some the second semester of freshman year until I was 25. Yeah, second semester of freshman year up until I was 25. Then I had a bald spot again. And honestly, It was during those first few periods, that seventh grade up until 11th grade, where I was like, wow, I'm cured. This is great. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. And then to find out I wasn't, and I had a big old relapse in 11th grade. But those times, I don't know what was going on because, like I said, I went to the same school from first grade to 12th grade. So it's not like major things were changing. I had the same kids, same school, same house, same parents, same brother. Like everything was the same. So I'm just not sure. It's just one of those things where I guess I was able to self-soothe in a different way, and I wasn't focused on, I didn't maybe have, didn't have like an overwhelming thing going on to make me feel the need to self-soothe with my trichotillomania. But I've had many years throughout my life where it just kind of dissipated, kind of went away for a little bit. I also had that 10-year gap of not pulling out my eyelashes completely. But like I said, in 2020, that changed. But I know that from talking to others in the community that many people feel that their trichotillomania or other BFRBs, waxes and wanes over time. And so something that I always say to myself, if I'm in a moment where I'm very, very, having those intense urges and experiencing the behavior, I say, this will pass. This will pass. Get through this day, get through this hour, get through this minute. Things will be different. It's not always going to be this intense. It's not always going to be less intense or kind of gone away. It's okay to live in the moment, but know that things will change. And that's neither good nor bad. It just is what it is. Where do you pick from the most? Location. I would say I pull the most at my desk. Anytime I find that I'm focusing and I'm concentrating so much, I find that I'm pulling a lot. I think that my pulling sometimes can help me. Well, this is what I tell myself, but when I pull a lot, when I'm concentrating, it feels like my thoughts are kind of clearing out. Like I'm able to think more clearly when I'm participating in my BFRB while I'm concentrating. I find that when I'm driving, when I used to drive to and from my teaching job, I found myself pulling a ton on the way to work, leaving work. So the car for sure, because where I pull on my scalp, the windowsill, like in the car, is perfectly placed for my elbow to rest on top and then just like easily pull without my arm getting tired. So my desk, the car, I pull sometimes when I'm watching a television show that's like particularly intense, maybe like I, any type of intensity, whether it's like cringe or whether it's like building up of a thriller. So that would be like the couch. But I think I would say the most is my desk and the car. Have you ever met anyone in real life with the BFRB? My whole life I had not until I started to become open about my trichotillomania and share with others and share openly on the internet that I was actually able to meet a bunch of the people that I've spoken to for years in real life. And so I had an amazing time. I went to my first BFRB conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota in October of 2023. And it was so amazing. I felt like I had known these people. I did know them for years, but to actually see them in person, hug them, I met new friends, old friends. I met Anila, Ellen, Mari from Habitaware, which was so awesome. At the time I wasn't working for the company. I just loved the company so much. I was just so excited to be a part of it. I really enjoyed meeting everybody. I cherished that time. It was just so fantastic. I felt like I walked into a room and everyone was like me, and it was so comfortable. It was just so comfortable. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, I don't feel nervous at all. I'm just like giddy and excited to see these people that I've followed for so long and really have inspired me and are doing such amazing work for the community. I also traveled to Chicago in 2023. I met a dear friend of mine named Sarah. I met Lauren McKinney. And then this past year, in October of 2024, I was able to meet even more people. It was fantastic. Anytime there is a BFRB reunion or conference, I am so there. I love hanging out and meeting people with BFRBs. When my whole life I was looking around like, do you have it? You don't look like you have it. Do you have it? You don't look like you have it. Like, somebody, please, anybody just like me. And now I finally found the community that I was always looking for. And it's so sweet. So if you are ever able to go to a BFRB conference, it's worth it. And I know that TLC, the TLC Foundation for BFRBs, they are hosting another BFRB conference. And so that's going to be in September, late September. So keep your eyes out for that, and I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Trick Talks. If you have any questions for me that I didn't answer today, please feel free to message me or take a look on my story. I'm going to be posting here and there little question prompts that you are able to type in, ask me a question, and I'll be happy to do that on an episode. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.